Hey there, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome back to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. This is the last in our off-season training series where I was going over the five fundamental elements of a mountain bike training program. And so again, recapping real quick, you've got flexibility, or your ability to move well. You've got strength, your ability to create tension within those movements. You've got speed, which is your ability to quickly create tension within those movements. You've got endurance, which is your ability to fuel the tension and the speed and all that behind those movements. And then finally, you've got skills training. And skills training is your ability to use those movements and fitness things that we've been talking about and apply them specifically to how you move on the bike in order to maintain balance and optimal posture and efficiency and all of that stuff. So, getting into skills training. Now, I've been at this long enough to have seen a pretty big shift in the awareness and attitude towards skills training. When I first started mountain biking back in 2000, so what, going on 15 years now, skills training wasn't even on the radar. I'd never even really heard of skills training, a skills training camp, a book, anything like that. I mean, you pretty much just went out and rode, and if you're lucky, maybe you had someone who'd been riding for a while that could give you a couple pointers or something like that. But skills training wasn't something that a lot of riders really considered an important thing to do. I know I certainly didn't. But you fast forward to the end of 2014, where we're at now, and skills training has become extremely popular. And you've got thousands and thousands, if not tens or hundreds of thousands of riders every year attending some sort of skills training camp or class. You've also got hundreds of thousands, if not millions more, that are watching free skills training videos online. So basically, every serious mountain biker now recognizes that skills training is an important part of becoming a better mountain biker. But this also means that you have a lot of riders who are frustrated at their lack of progression in that category. And like I said, there's a wealth of knowledge out there about what to do. But the problem is that a lot of riders fail, they struggle to be able to apply it consistently on the trail. So they know what to do, and they might be able to pull it off in a parking lot, they might be able to pull it off every once in a while on the trail, but just kind of letting it flow and letting it come consistently to them is something that eludes them. And a lot of riders just simply can't seem to pick up certain skills. And so you get a lot of frustration with that. And what I've found is that the problem is that a lot of these riders are trying to build their skills on a weak foundation. And so you need to make sure you have the physical qualities needed to improve your skills before you can start working on improving your skills. So that kind of is leads us to where we're at with skills training and where we're at today. So I like the fact that so many riders appreciate what skills training can do for them. But like I said, there's definitely a little bit of a disconnect between what they're trying to do to improve those skills and, you know, what's really going to get them to where they're able to do it consistently. So again, what is skills training? To me, improving your skills, it basically comes down to being able to apply good movement while on the bike to maintain good balance and efficiency on the trail. Now, when you improve your skills, you're going to increase your speed. You're going to be able to ride faster. You're going to increase your endurance. If you're wasting less speed in corners, if you're able to flow through rock garden smoother, if you're able to pick and maintain cleaner lines on climbs, all of those things require less energy. And that's energy that you'll have to put into things later in the ride. So that's going to increase your endurance because you're not wasting as much energy through inefficient movement and bad skills. It's going to increase your safety. You're going to wreck less, and when you do wreck, you're going to be better balanced and in a better position to optimize your chance of walking away from that wreck safely. And you know, lastly, it's going to improve your flow on the trail. And flow, I like the Greeks had a term, arete, and I did a blog post on this once and talked about why it is an important part of riding. But basically flow, or this arete, the way that the way that the ancient Greeks defined excellence, it wasn't just doing something well. It was doing it with a certain style and grace. It was doing things, you know, better than they necessarily had to be done. And so it's this style and grace element that the skills training where this, you know, comes in. And so, again, it's great to be a fast rider. It's great to have good endurance. But if you look like a hack while you're doing it, you're missing something that you could have. Again, you know, to each their own. But I just know that when I see a rider who is, you know, going fast and they're a good rider, but you can just tell that they're just out-fitnessing their way through the fact that they don't have very good skills, they don't have much flow, I don't necessarily consider them to be as good a rider as someone who is as fast, maybe even not necessarily as fast, but has a lot more just style and grace and flow to what they're doing. Just the eye test tells you that the person who has that flow, who has that style and grace, is connecting, has something a little bit different, is connecting with things on a little bit different level than the person who is skipping over that and just focusing on speed and endurance and stuff. So again, the skills element really fills in that arete gap that a lot of riders get. And it's, I don't think, again, it's not necessarily a conscious effort on their part as much as this style and grace isn't something that's necessarily emphasized and talked about a lot in training programs and cycling circles and stuff like that, where the main focus is on these numbers, you know, speed and watts and power and VO2 max and lactate threshold and all that stuff, which again has a place, but eventually you start to think that that is riding. And that's not riding. Like riding, your skills, how you actually apply your movement and your fitness to the actual act of riding your bike, that's riding. So making sure that you're, you know, you have some style and grace with that, some efficiency, some flow, you know, those things are going to help you, you know, improve your performance and just have more fun and look better doing it. So then, my experience in working with riders, what I try to do is understand how does movement apply to the bike. And so what I've found is that what it all boils down to, all skills training boils down to a couple simple concepts that once you understand, then it makes the whole thing a lot easier to start to understand how you can improve. Now, again, just because they're simple doesn't mean they're easy. It doesn't mean that these things are easy to apply and easy to master. It just means that these are pretty simple concepts. So the first one is that skills, your skills ultimately boils down to your relationship between your center of gravity and your bike's center of gravity. Now, for the sake of simplicity, I know that these aren't the exact centers of gravity on your body and your bike, but just for simplicity, because it's in the basic area and it works for, you know, the analogy works on the, on your body, your hips are your center of gravity or very close to it. And same thing with your bike. On your bike, your bottom bracket is your bike's center of gravity or very close to it. And so the relationship between your center of gravity and your bike's center of gravity is what it comes down to. When those things are lined up, when those things are grooving, then you feel balanced and you've got good efficiency, good flow. When those things are out of whack, then that's when things aren't feeling as good. And so what you want to be able to do is maintain that balance, that relationship, no matter what's going on. You're entering a corner, you know how your bike's center of gravity is going to change. You know how you need to change your center of gravity to compensate for that and how all that applies to the bike. You need to improve your standing climbing. You need to improve your descending. You know, all of that basically boils down to, can you get into the position that allows you to maintain and optimize that relationship between your center of gravity and the bike's center of gravity? So with that in mind, if you can't move well, which is our flexibility, and you can't produce adequate tension within that movement, so you can't, you know, get into a position, and then if you can get in it, you can't maintain it, you know, with any strength or tension. So you need to, if you don't have adequate strength, and you can't easily do it with speed and power, and you can't fuel it, then you won't see much progression in your skills training. So what this basically boils down to is, like I was mentioning earlier, your skills training is going to be built on this foundation of the physical qualities that we covered in the previous podcast. So flexibility, your ability to move well. If you can't even get into the position that you need to in the first place, you're going to be in trouble. And really, this is what has led me, the first aha moment that I had that started me thinking about skills training and fitness training in this way was when I was at a skills camp and we were going over the basic body position on the bike. Day one, very beginning of the camp, hey, let's go over basic body position because we need to make sure we have that down. And there was one gentleman who, despite all the best efforts of the coach, despite his best efforts, just simply could not get into good body position. And I realized that, man, if you pulled this guy off the bike, he probably couldn't bend over and touch his toes. And he probably couldn't even just get into the basic position that he needed to off of the bike. And that's when it dawned on me, like, well, his hip hinge, his ability to do his deadlift or his swing, his ability to hinge his hips back, to push his butt back while maintaining a neutral spine and letting his chest come down, like, he didn't have that movement skill. And so he's trying to figure out good body position on the bike when he didn't have the fundamental movement skill that he needed to do it in the first place. And so realistically, this guy was, you know, he was swimming up the creek, trying to paddle up the creek without a paddle, basically. Like, he was trying his best, but, and it's not his fault, but he just simply didn't have the tools that he needed to even get into good basic body position. So that's when, like I said, it dawned on me that what this guy really needed to do was not worry about body position on the bike right now, but to focus on improving his flexibility, improving his strength, and improving, you know, his speed and endurance, improving his physical qualities that he needed to be able to even get into that position and hold it, you know, off of the bike in the first place, and then be able to get onto the bike and apply it in a more dynamic environment. And without that foundation, he was really going to struggle to figure out how to apply actually figure it out on the bike and apply the stuff on the bike. So you need to be able to move well, and you need to be able to, like I said, have good strength, speed, and endurance behind that movement in order to give yourself the opportunity to improve your skills in the first place. So, like I said, trouble executing a skill is usually because you lack a fundamental movement or prerequisite skill, not because you don't know what to do. And so a really good example of this is trying to learn how to corner before you really own body position. And again, this is a really common problem that I see, is that people skip over basic body position and they don't really own it. They don't have it dialed and just have it down to the point that they're able to maintain it when their mind shifts to something else. And so, you know, they're able to get into good body position on, you know, in the parking lot drills. And then they're able to go out on the trail, and when they're thinking about it, you know, they're able to maintain pretty good body position in most cases. You know, probably get knocked out every once in a while, but have to, you know, think about it and get back to it. But, you know, they understand it. They know what you're talking about, and they can do it, you know, when you're saying, okay, show me good body position. At that moment, they can show you what it looks like. But that doesn't mean that you own it to the point that when your mind shifts to all of the things that you have to start thinking about to start cornering, that you're automatically going to stay in that good body position and maintain that good body position that we need. And so what you'll see is when people who are practicing their cornering, that when they start to think about the cornering stuff, you see their body position go to hell. And all of a sudden, they're trying to initiate and use their cornering technique from a bad body position base. And so, like I said, I've seen it time and time again where people struggle with cornering. And on checking and looking, it's like, well, the problem isn't cornering. It's your body position. You don't own body position the way that you need to in order to start shifting your focus to higher level skills. And so just like you can't get into good body position in the first place if you don't have the fundamental movement skills that you need, the flexibility and the strength and the body awareness to get into that position in the first place, if you don't, you know, just like, you know, not having that will make you struggle with getting good body position in the first place, not having good body position dialed in is going to make you struggle when you try higher level skills like cornering. And so, you know, making sure you have those prerequisite movements and skills in place is extremely, extremely important in order to, you know, make sure that you're going to see good progress and be able to apply it consistently on the trail. So another piece of advice that kind of stems from this concept is to beware of quick fixes or advice that's based on a symptom of good technique instead of focusing on the cause of good technique. Now, two good examples of this are the advice of elbows out just for body position and the advice of outside foot down when cornering. Now, this isn't saying that that advice is bad. What I'm saying is that this advice is focusing on a symptom of good technique and not really the cause of good technique. And as a result, it kind of becomes a quick fix sort of thing. It's something that we tell people to do and they do, but they don't really understand the fundamental movement behind, you know, the good technique that should be getting them there. And so they're kind of acting out good technique instead of really understanding what it should feel like and how it should be working. And so, again, going back to these examples, you know, elbows out, your elbows shouldn't be just out away from your body. Your upper back should be engaged. If you have your shoulders pulled back and down, if you have your shoulder blades tucked into your back pockets and your shoulders packed in, your elbows will naturally flare out away from your body. It engages your lats and literally makes it impossible for you to touch your elbows to your ribs and get your elbows all the way inside unless you disengage your lats. So when you see a rider with their elbows in, what you're seeing is a rider who has a weak upper back and they don't have their lats engaged. And so that's what's going on there. So you can tell them elbows out. Tell them to get their elbows out in order to kind of get them into the basic body position. But they also need to understand that the real focus needs to be on keeping your shoulder blades tucked, making sure you're keeping your shoulders packed and you're keeping good upper body position and posture on the trail. And when you do that, it's going to naturally put your elbows out. And so the focus starts to go away from a symptom, which is elbows out, to the true cause of good upper body position on the bike, which is a good strong upper back and packed shoulders. And so same thing with outside foot down. You're not just dropping your outside foot. You should be shifting your hips laterally out to the side to offset the bike dropping in, the bike center of gravity dropping in as you lean the bike over. And as you shift your hips over, that should be dropping the outside foot as more weight is going to that outside foot. So you're carving the corner like you would on skis or something like that. And you know, when you do that, you're going to end up with the outside foot down in extreme cornering situations, but it's not going to be all the time. You don't have to drop your outside foot 100% in every corner. If you're focusing on the shifts or the hips shifting and letting the foot drop as it needs to, instead of just dropping the foot and then trying to shift the hips, like that doesn't work as well. So again, if you have someone who just refuses to move their feet, then telling them to drop their outside foot to get them in the basic, you know, ballpark is fine. But again, making sure that you understand what the good technique is and what you're focusing on, so you're not focusing on these quick fixes or things that are based on symptoms. And so make sure that you're focusing on the real cause of good technique, which is the movement stuff behind it, which is where the training comes in, you know, making sure that you have good upper back mobility and good upper back lat strength. You know, if you don't have that, well, guess what? You're going to have trouble maintaining that good body position and keeping your elbows out. So anyways, moving on. So making that mental connection between how you move in the gym and how you move on the bike is important to getting the most out of your program. And this doesn't mean that exercises have to look like what you do on the bike, though. And sometimes we get a little confused with this with the term sport-specific training. And I'm not trying to recreate riding a bike in the gym. What I'm trying to do is work on the basic movement patterns that are behind these higher-level movements on the bike, and then apply the movement, the lessons that I get, the general lessons that I get from that stuff to the specific movements that I need on the bike. But again, that mental connection, you have to be aware of how you're moving, how you should be moving, you know, where your body should be creating tension, how it should be stabilizing. All of these things should be what you're focusing on and then trying to understand better how they apply to the bike. And that'll help you feel these things on the bike, which is going to improve your skill development and speed that up. So With that said, let's look at the five basic trail skills that you need to work on. And again, just in my experience, looking at it, there's five basic things that you need to know how to do. The first one is body position. Body position is your ability to achieve and maintain a strong, balanced body position on the bike with either foot forward. I'm a real big advocate of learning to ride switch foot. I don't believe that you have body position truly dialed until you're able to ride switch foot in, you know, in any non-technical situation. Like I tell the riders that I train, like up to about 80% of your technical proficiency, so anything that requires like less than 80% of your, you know, skill level, you should be able to ride switch foot and not even really think about it. So you're always going to have that point where, okay, I have, you know, with me, my right foot forward, that's my most comfortable foot. So when things get really, you know, hairy or one of those real high skill situations, I'm going to have that right foot forward. But any other time, just out on the trail, just cruising along, I could have either foot forward. I've trained myself to ride with my left foot forward and really not even notice the difference, be just as comfortable with my left foot forward as my right foot forward. And that's a really important skill that you need to develop as part of your body position development plan. And so movement-wise, this relates to your hip hinge, which I have mentioned earlier, and your horizontal push, which again ties into the elbow position. A good horizontal push, which is going to be like your push-up or your bench press or dumbbell bench press, those movements are going to require that strong, stable upper back, the packed shoulders, while your arms are moving around that platform, which is exactly what you're trying to do on the bike. So that horizontal push and the hip hinge are two of those fundamental movements that are behind good body position. Your next skill is standing pedaling. And this is your ability to stand up and achieve a strong, balanced standing pedaling position. And this relates to your squat movement pattern, the ability to maintain a strong, upright torso, and you know, be creating that squat pattern is a very important part of your standing pedaling. And so, for a lot of people, the squat is a weak pattern. And so, when they stand up, like in some of my videos and stuff, if you've seen me talking about this before, standing pedaling and seated pedaling are two very, very different skills. When you stand up to pedal, you can't just maintain the same body position and just raise your hips up off of the seat and call that standing pedaling. Standing pedaling is a different body position. When you stand up, your hips should move forward. They should get closer to your stem. Your shoulders should raise up away from your handlebars. You should be getting your shoulders basically stacked more on top of your hips. Your hips get more on top of your feet. And so you're in a different position. And like I said, this relates to that squat position. And so if you're weak with that squat pattern, then you're going to struggle with standing pedaling. So making sure you're strong with that will really help there. Seated pedaling is your ability to achieve and maintain optimal position while sitting down to pedal. And again, like I mentioned, this is a different body position, which means it's a different movement skill. And you know, this is one of those things, again, some riders don't think about, but your fitness and your skill in one area does not automatically transfer over to the other. So just because you can sit down and pedal for days doesn't mean that you're going to have a strong endurance with standing pedaling. The two do not transfer over to each other. You have to train each one separately. And so usually standing pedaling is that weak link for most of us on the trail, which is why I'm such a big advocate for making sure you're training it. But seated pedaling is extremely important as well. So it's very closely related to your body position. I mean, all of the fundamental stuff from your basic body position should be being applied to seated pedaling. The only difference is that you're sitting down and you're pedaling. So there you go. The next skill is manualing. Now, manualing is simply your ability to use your hips to shift your weight back and lift the front end of your bike up. So it's your ability to use your hips to pick up the front end, rather than your arms to pick it up. So if you see a rider who uses their arms, when the wheel's in the air, their elbows are bent and they're still forward over the bike. You see a rider that uses their hips and their arms are straight and they're leaned back a little bit. Now, when most of us think of manualing, we think of guys who are able to like hold these incredible manual wheelies for days and make us all look like chumps. So that's not that, that is the skill, but that's an extreme level of it. You just simply need to be able to get the front end of your bike up and hold it for a second or two to be able to really use this skill on the trail. And this is also the cornerstone skill for things like bunny hopping and jumping your bike. So once you understand how to use your hips to initiate that movement to drive the bike forward, then that's going to unlock your ability to bunny hop and your ability to hit jumps and feel much more confident with that. So manualing is a really important one. Now this is related to your explosive hip hinge movement pattern. So the swing is an excellent way to work this skill. And it's also dumbbell cheat curl. Sorry, the kettlebell swing and the dumbbell cheat curl are two of my favorite ways to work that movement skill. And it also requires excellent body position. And I say this, it goes back to those things like I was talking about. If you struggle with manualing, then odds are somewhere your body position is breaking down. Like as you go to manual, there's a breakdown. You're shifting your weight, your posture's breaking, something's moving as you go to start doing your manual. Not all the time, but most of the time, that's what you'll see because it is an explosive movement. And so you have to really make sure you've got that body position dialed to maintain it with that explosive movement. And so moving on, our last skill is cornering. And this is your ability to maintain optimal balance and position through a corner. And it's related to your lateral hip hinge. And again, like I mentioned before, requires excellent body position. But cornering is one of the hardest skills for riders to learn because you start to get into the lateral movements and transverse planes, if we want to talk planes there and sound all fancy. But the point is that all of the other skills, body position, standing paddling, seated paddling, and manualing, all take place in like a front-to-back plane, what's known as the sagittal plane, again, if we're using our fancy words here. Once you get into cornering, you're starting to get into the frontal planes and transverse movements, and you're getting out of that front-to-back. Most of us are very comfortable with front-to-back movements. That's why I actually rate manualing as an easier skill for people to learn than cornering, and because, like I said, you're still working front-to-back. As soon as you start working side-to-side and stuff like that, man, things start going haywire for most people. So you really have to make sure that you have some fundamental movement skills and body awareness to move your body laterally in order to really be able to learn how to corner properly. Because again, your good cornering of your bike is going to require your hips to shift outside of your bike center of gravity to initiate the turn and to maintain the balance. Because as you go into a corner, you're going to lean your bike into the corner. And that means that your bike center of gravity is going to drop inside. It's going to drop into the corner, inside the corner. And if your center of gravity stays over the top, now all of a sudden you're not balanced. And what's going to happen is you're going to get pulled inside. So you have to shift your center of gravity outside of the corner in order to compensate for that. And so it's that shifting of your hips to the outside of the corner that's going to initiate the turn and allow you to lean the bike and maintain balance through the corner. But if you can't laterally shift your hips, if you struggle with maintaining that body position with that movement and applying that movement, man, cornering is just going to be a mystery for a while. So that's our five skills: body position, standing paddling, seated paddling, manualing, and cornering. And like I said, everything else on the trail that you do boils down to some combination of those skills. So those are the five things that we want to make sure that we're working on. So here's how I advise you work on skills training. I tell people to pick one skill and focus on that skill for 4 to 6 weeks. And, you don't want to, again, you can have other things in mind, but I found that having a focus on a certain skill, so, going through these five skills, if you did one a month, you're going to get through these, you're going to go through each one twice in a year. So it's really not that much, you're not going to get a ton of exposure even doing that if you think about it, I guess is my point. So, but you have to have some focused exposure. So having 4 weeks of focusing on body position, then moving on to focusing on standing pedaling. And again, it's not saying you're ignoring these other skills. It's just saying that when you're out on the trail and you're using your parking lot drills, like these are the things that you're focusing on. You know, again, like I said, parking lot drills to help us figure out to work on the basics. And then you want to use skills focus rides to apply it to the trail. And again, this is an element that I think a lot of riders are missing out. Instead of just hitting the trail every time and being like, I'm just going to go out and ride as hard as I can. You know, some rides you're going to ride hard and you're going to focus on the fitness and the speed and the endurance aspect, but you can't have every ride be hard because it's an impossibility. If every ride's hard, none of them are really hard. So you need to have hard rides, but you also need to have moderate rides, which are perfect for skills focused rides. So instead of focusing on going hard, you're focusing on going smooth and applying your skills and focusing on, you know, whatever skill is your focus for that month and really thinking about applying it to the trail. So, you know, those are two things that will really help. Another thing that I advise and really every skills coach that I've ever talked to has advised is that when you're trying to learn a new skill or you're trying to push the envelope with a current skill to push it to the next level, use flat pedals. It will increase your confidence. It will actually, you know, in some ways help you be more balanced with the way that your foot gets positioned, a little more midfoot there. And so using flats, again, not trying to convert you into a flat pedal user, saying here's a way that you can use flats to improve as a mountain biker. And again, this is the advice that you'll hear from pretty much every skills coach out there. Any skills camp, they're going to strongly advise that you show up with flat pedals. And again, it's just because their experience and my experience is that flat pedals will allow you to focus a little bit more on what you're doing on the bike and not be worried about the what if something goes wrong and you have to get unclipped or trying to ride around unclipped and not really having any security with your feet at all, which isn't a good way to go either. So my last bit of advice, kind of drawing this all to a close here, is you can't learn how to do it all in a weekend. And I don't say that with any disrespect to the camps and stuff that are out there. In fact, I think they're doing an awesome job. I think, though, that a lot of times we have an unrealistic expectation about what it's going to do for us and where we're going to be in our progression at the end of those things, at the end of a camp or at the end of, you know, having a lesson with somebody, and understanding that this is a lifelong pursuit and it requires focus and a plan if you really want to get great. I mean, I've been at this, like I mentioned, for almost 15 years. And I'm still working on stuff. I still have aspects of my game, my skills that I'm working to improve and refine. And so if you go to a skills training camp and you expect that you're going to learn everything that you need to know and be able to apply it based on that one exposure to it, then it's just an unrealistic expectation. So use those things for what they're meant for, which is to help you with where you're currently at, figure out some things that you can do to help take yourself to the next level. And then, you know, think about those things and apply those things and just be mindful of your own riding on the trail and think about, you know, how you ride and the situations that you can improve and, you know, just kind of being mindful in general of yourself as a rider and how you ride will really start to help you understand where you need to improve and how you can improve. So I guess that's it with the skills training. That's my kind of how I approach improving people's skills. I make sure that they can move properly. I make sure that they've got the physical qualities that they need. And then I help them, you know, focus on the, you know, starting with number one body position, you know, and if we need to work on that, that's where we start and just kind of systematically working along and always going back and checking and making sure that we're, you know, if we're having trouble with one area, it's not because we're lacking a mastery or you know, a certain level of skill in another area. So, you know, when you start to look at your skills training that way, it really opens up your understanding of how you can use your training program to improve not only your skills, but your fitness. So making sure that you've got all five fundamental elements of a mountain bike training program covered in a way that meets your needs as a mountain biker, you know, the way that you need them on the trail is, you know, it sounds simple. It sounds so logical, but, you know, like I've mentioned a couple times in these podcasts, there's a lot of times there's a huge disconnect between what people do in training and what we're trying to do on the trail. And then we wonder why we struggle or we're not seeing the results that we should for the time that we're putting in. And so something like skills training is an important part of that. If you, you know, are not, if you don't have some sort of skills training element in your training program, then you've got a huge gap as a mountain biker that you're leaving there. And you want to make sure that you're taking advantage of your opportunity to improve through that avenue as well. So anyway, so that's going to do it for this podcast. It's also going to do it for this five-part series on the five fundamental elements of mountain bike training. I've had a good time doing this. Definitely allowed me to get a lot of stuff out of my brain and hopefully into your brain and giving you guys some things to think about. And yeah, so if you got any questions or comments about this, be sure to visit me at bikejames.com. You can post them there on the blog post for this podcast. Again, I got a lot of great free resources for you there that you can check out as well. And just, again, just trying to help riders figure out how they can have more fun on the bike and understanding how you can use strength training and flexibility and all of these things and ultimately your skills training to shape your, you know, how you ride is, you know, something that I've used. I'm definitely not a natural rider. I was telling somebody the other day, I mean, I remember wrecking, trying to jump off of a curb. I mean, I was definitely not a natural talent. So, you know, figuring this stuff out is, you know, what I've been doing for myself and for my clients. And so being able to share this stuff with you guys, I really enjoyed the opportunity to do it. So once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. Like I said, check me out on the web at bikejames.com. And I will talk to you next time.